This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Boston area bike lanes are cropping up everywhere these days. So maybe bike lane controversies were inevitable. But we've now got not one, but three bike lane controversies going on in the area. One has to do with a major renovations plan for the Longfellow Bridge. A big question there is who will get more real estate in that bridge redesign, cars or bikes? Then there's Charlestown, which recently got its first set of bike lanes on Main Street, only to have them scraped off the asphalt this week in the middle of the night, literally, when a neighborhood council complained. And finally, one man in Arlington says he has spent $60,000 on legal fees fighting bike lanes that the city wants to put on Mass Ave. And that's where we'll begin, with Eric Berger. He's a member of the East Arlington Concerned Citizens Committee. And Berger says he's got nothing against bike lanes in general. He says he's a biker himself. But bike lanes on Mass Ave?
It makes no sense. We're taking a major highway and shoehorning into that highway bike lanes. And there's no room for the bike lanes there. And it's heavily traveled. There's three bus routes along that road. There's 16 bus stops. There are trucks making deliveries to over 100 businesses. There are 125 parking spots, and there's a lot of parking turnover. This is a heavily traveled road. And to shoehorn in there bike lanes makes no sense. There's not enough room. To put in the bike lanes, they have to take away two travel lanes, which is going to bring unbelievable congestion to the town, and it creates unsafe conditions. And less than two blocks away from this one-mile stretch is the renowned Minuteman Bikeway. So it's ludicrous.
Eric, you mentioned unsafe conditions. What unsafe conditions do you think are created if a bike lane were to be put in this area?
Well, first of all, you're going to have backup, tremendous backup of traffic. You have one travel lane heading west for a mile. The plan has included no left turn lanes for a half a mile. Consequently, I'm a car. I stop. I want to go left. I can't go left right now because there's two lanes of traffic heading toward me. So I stop in this one travel lane. Now what happens? Everybody behind me stops. So all the cars back up. Buses, trucks, they can't go around me. The emergency vehicles are going to be severely hampered. Their response time will be increased because of the congestion. And we have over 7,000 senior citizens living in this town. Now you tell me that people are going to get a heart attack. Every second counts. The American Heart Association on its website says, Sasha, every second counts. And the specific bike lanes in this area force cyclists to ride in the dooring zone. The town maintains that these bike lanes will be good for the average level cyclist who now doesn't ride on Mass Ave. So they're saying, come out, these bike lanes will help you. But that's not true, because you're going to take cyclists that can't handle it, Sasha, from the Minuteman Bikeway, and you're trying to entice them out to Mass Ave to ride out here, and you're saying these bike lanes are good. But these bike lanes are entirely in the door zone, which means that you're taking cyclists to ride in a bike lane where when people open the car doors from their parked vehicles, they open right into the bike lane.
Would you say that you're against bike lanes in general?
No, absolutely not. I think bike lanes, in the right context, provide for safer conditions. They promote a healthy lifestyle. I ride a bike, and I own one, and I enjoy it, and I love the Minuteman Bikeway. But you have to look at each context, and the context of this one-mile stretch makes no sense.
In recent years, the Boston area has been considered fairly bike-unfriendly, but in the past few years, it's tried to improve that reputation by installing mini bike lanes, among other
sure.
things that help bicyclists. Do you think that bike lane creation has gone too far?
It's gone too far in Arlington, I'll tell you that much. And it's gone too far wherever the context makes no sense. To put it in willy-nilly somewhere is no good. Just like the idea of someone said, well, you shouldn't have any bike lanes anywhere. Well, that makes no sense either. Why not? You want to promote bicycling. It's good. It's healthy. But it's gone too far when you put it into a context which makes it unsafe conditions.
Listeners, that was a man who says he spent $60,000 fighting bike lanes that the city wants to put in, that the town of Arlington wants to put in East Arlington on Mass Ave. We want to know what you think. When you see a bike lane going in, do you rejoice or do you groan? Do you think the city is giving too much space to bike lanes or not enough? We want to know if you think that you sense a rising bike lane backlash as the city tries to rectify its bike-unfriendly image. Give us a call. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And now we're going to head over to Charlestown, where, as I mentioned earlier this week, the new bike lanes on Main Street, the first that the Charlestown had ever had, were removed from the street. They were actually ground off the asphalt, literally under the cover of night. Krista Checarossi writes for the Charlestown Patch, and she says the lanes, which were, the first Charlestown had ever had, hadn't been around long before they started to cause trouble.
The lanes appeared, it was late October that the first line was sort of painted down Main Street to indicate where they were going to be painted. And I think it was by Election Day. City crews were in town finishing the lanes, but this was a total surprise to the Charlestown Neighborhood Council, which in Charlestown is an elected board, but they just serve an advisory role with the city. And so when they had their monthly meeting in November, they invited Nicole Friedman from Boston Bikes.
She's the city's bike czar.
Yes, to give them some information about how this happened and what the lanes are for. And the end of that meeting, basically, overwhelmingly, the Neighborhood Council indicated that they were just frustrated that the neighborhood hadn't been invited to discuss this before the lanes came in. And Nicole explained to them that this is just part of the mayor's larger plan to bring 20-plus miles of bike lanes to the city by this year. I believe this is the tail end of that project. And it kind of explained that the lanes promote bike awareness, safety for the cyclists, and it wasn't clear what was going to happen after that.
So the neighborhood council, after mm-hmm. the bike lanes show up in what was a surprise for the community, mm-hmm. they're not thrilled.
They're not thrilled, but primarily they're not thrilled because they weren't invited to have a conversation about the bike lanes before they arrived.
So they say it's not so much that they're anti-bike lane in this case, they just wish they could have been involved in the process of talking about
it. Oh, absolutely, yeah. No one is anti-bike lane. They did have some concerns about Main Street being the ideal place for bike lanes in Charlestown. There's someone on the council who represents Business Association, and she said that she spoke with Main Street businesses, and there's a real need for more parking, and there was a concern that the bike lanes might take away from that option. They talked about maybe putting them on Medford Street or Chelsea Street, which would send bikers on a rather circuitous route around the neighborhood, but they thought they might be better for Charlestown as a whole.
So, Christy, the bike lanes appear. The neighborhood council is not thrilled. And then the bike lanes disappear.
Bike lanes disappear. So there was a meeting at the end of November with a subcommittee of the neighborhood council, and only four members were present at that meeting. But Nicole came back, and
Nicole Friedman, the city
bike czar. Nicole Friedman, yep. And I was not at that meeting, but I did see the minutes from it, and it seems like there was a unanimous vote among the four people who were there to have the lanes removed until there could be a broader discussion with the community about whether they should be in Charlestown and if they were there, where they should be.
And tell us about the removal itself, because that's where things get a little dramatic.
Yeah. So apparently city crews came around 4 o'clock in the morning on a weekday, just a few days after that November 30th meeting I was just talking about, and then, the neighborhood woke up and mysteriously the lanes were gone.
Christy, you mentioned that some residents are saying, why not put these bike lanes on different streets? They say that maybe Main Street is too main. But could some people argue that the most main street is the best place to put the bike lane?
Oh, absolutely. And there have been people making that argument. Anyone who is a proponent of these lanes or who is a cyclist themselves is saying bikers want to go where people want to go, where everyone else wants to go. They want to patronize the businesses on Main Street and stop for coffee and, take the fastest and most direct route to wherever they're going. And, of course, in Charlestown, Main Street is that route.
Christy, do you know the cost of either or installing and then removing those bike lanes?
So we haven't gotten that confirmed yet from the mayor's office. I am waiting for that information. But Nicole Friedman did tell me earlier this year, or in the fall when we were first talking about this, that on average the lanes cost between $25,000 and $50,000 to install. And that depends on the complexity of the lane and the street that they're working on. I should also say that right now the concern that's being raised in Charlestown is from residents who are saying, why weren't we asked to weigh in on whether we wanted the lanes to stay? People are wondering, okay, they were here, why didn't we get to talk about if we wanted them to stay before we had the city pay to remove them?
So is there a chance that the bike lanes will have been painted, unpainted, and painted again?
There is a chance, because the Neighborhood Council has actually pledged to continue this conversation after the first of the year, and there's a very good chance that the lanes will come back, maybe not to the exact same space in Charlestown, but maybe somewhere else.
Christy Ceccarossi, thanks for filling us in on this.
My pleasure.
Again, that was Christy Ceccarossi, who writes for the Charlestown Patch. She was telling us about the bike lanes that were scraped off the street in Charlestown not long after they were put in. And with me now is Shane Jordan. Shane writes the blog bostonbike.org, and until recently he was with Mass Bike, a cyclist advocacy group. Shane Jordan, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So first I want to get your general take on whether you sense that there is some sort of bike lane backlash, that after all the push to make Boston more bike-friendly and put more lanes in, that suddenly we're getting some resistance to that.
You know, I don't really think there's like an overall resistance. For every Charlestown in Arlington, there's been, you know, many, many, many other bike lanes put in that everyone was very happy about. So I don't think that it's organized or a representative backlash, no.
What is your take in general on bike lanes? Because I know that there is not agreement in the cyclist community that bike lanes are always the best idea.
Right. I mean, like any tool, you want to use the appropriate tool for the appropriate job. There's actually, you know, not a lot of studies that show that bike lanes, you know, make people safer or you know, that on the same note, there is also a lot of studies that show they don't make people more dangerous. So I like to think of them as sort of safety neutral. What they do, however, is they draw a lot of people who might not try biking out to try it. They give people a bit of mental comfort.
People feel safe and protected in them, even if they may not be as safe and protected as they think.
Right, and you know, those sort of perceptions really matter to people, because they won't try something unless they feel like it's accessible and that it's safe. And then when they do try things, there are studies that seem to indicate that when you get a lot of people cycling, that actually does increase safety.
Because there's safety in numbers. More drivers see more bikes and they learn to be more conscious of bicyclists?
It could be that. It could be that you're taking people out of cars and putting them on bikes. It could be a lot of things. I don't know exactly how that works, but it does seem to work.
Shane Jordan, I want to bring in a caller from Cambridge. This is Bob Grant. And Bob, your thoughts about bike lanes. Are you a supporter? Are you feeling like we're putting too many in around the city?
Well, in general, I'm a supporter of them, but when they don't make any sense, as in the case described by the gentleman from Arlington, I'm against them. I commute across the BU Bridge, which has been closed down to one lane each way for about 2 years now, and the state's plans to turn half of the bridge over to bikes and keep it one lane each way for cars. And you just have to look at the gridlock by BU every morning to see the effect that's having.
So you think if bike lanes are put in on the BU Bridge, that's going to continue the gridlock of cars even after they finish the bridge reconstruction?
Absolutely.
What do you think, Bob, about this proposal for the Longfellow Bridge, the Salt and Pepper Bridge that connects Boston and Cambridge? I think the latest proposal is that the outbound lane, so from Boston to Cambridge, would be reduced from 2 car lanes to 1 car lane, and then a bike lane would be added. Now, the inbound lane, I think, would continue to be 2 car lanes. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in the state analysis that would say it wouldn't cause gridlock. They say that about the BU Bridge, and I don't believe it.
Bob, thanks for that.
I like the idea of the idea of the Longfellow proposal is a good one, you know, but I think it will cause a lot of gridlock.
Bob, thanks for that. I also want to go to a caller from Quincy. This is Joe. And Joe, your thoughts about bike lanes in general and whether we're putting too many in or not enough in?
I think we're putting not enough in, and we're worried about perfection before just going out and doing it. I've traveled in quite a number of other places in the country and some outside the country, they don't go for perfection. They put it in, they get the awareness out, and they make people aware that there are bicycles out there, that they have the right to the road and need to get a little respect for the position they're in. I think till we change that and sort of get out of our cars and on the bikes and walking and give them equal time, it's not going to change.
Do you agree with the previous caller that bike lanes can be inappropriate in some places?
There can be places where it's an issue, but I think we tend to want to have a perfect solution before we're going to act at all. And to go in a direction and try it, even if you have to backpedal a little bit, no pun intended, I think is the way to do it. Seattle, one day they woke up and said, that's it, we're just going to do this, we're not going to worry about perfection, we're not going to let Portland beat us as the cycling-friendly city, and they started putting it up. And year on, as I've gone back there and cycled there, I see improvements. Places that it was not a great solution have made great strides.
Joe, thanks very much for that. Shane Jordan, you blog at bostonbike.org, and you recently work for Mass Bike, the cyclist advocacy group. Where do you consider the best place to put bike lanes down? You know, for example, if Charlestown decided that Main Street in Charlestown wasn't the best place, then what is?
I mean, you can look at that two ways. You can look where people are riding now, and you can try to, you know, facilitate the current routes. Or you can ask yourself, well, where would you put a sidewalk or where would you put a road? When people, it seems to me like a lot of the people are like, oh, I love bike lanes, except for, you know, when they're someplace I don't want them to be. It's sort of like you have to ask yourself, what kind of city do you want to live in? Do you want to be in a city where you can easily ride your bike everywhere? Or do you want to be in a city where bikes are restricted to little narrow corridors? And if you're a business owner, you want bikes in your neighborhood because those people stop more. They spend more money. They you know, go to local businesses more. So I think the whole city needs to have a comprehensive bike infrastructure, and that means pretty much lanes, racks, you know, whatever other infrastructure is appropriate everywhere.
We have a caller from Hudson. This is Amanda. And Amanda, your thoughts about bike lanes, too many, not enough? What do you think?
Well, so far, what I've seen, at least from cyclists, I'm not sure bike lanes are going to help or not. I want to also promote a healthy lifestyle, but from people that I've talked to, you know, who have, like, I know a couple of cyclist friends who have been doored, which means you get hit by the door, basically, and they get hurt very badly. So I definitely think for the bike lanes that are where the doors are, that's a terrible idea. But I definitely just worry about, as a person who's a motorist, I don't want to hurt anybody, and I just worry about cyclists that are on the lane. Even if there's a special place for them, sometimes, you know, other cars are too big, you don't, or someone's, you know, driving in a weird way, and you have to move over and make room, and I'm just very concerned about these cyclists. Boston is a very, you know, old city. We're not really built for bike lanes as much as I wish we could be.
So, Amanda, you'd rather have the bikes take the full lane as their right is, even though some drivers don't realize that?
Well,
sounds like you're torn.
That's not good either. That's not good either because they can't go very quickly. I wish there was, like, more dedicated places that were just for bikes, and more, maybe less places that were just for cars.
Amanda, thank you for that. Shane Jordan, one more question for you. You've said that you don't really see a big bike lane backlash, so let me ask you the opposite. Do you feel like there's a more harmonious relationship between cyclists and bicyclists and car drivers than there used to be?
Definitely. I mean, two or three years ago, on a day like today when it's like 14 degrees outside, you'd see no one riding. This morning on my way to work, I saw, you know, 50 riders out there.
I was out there.
Yeah, there's just a ton more people biking, and I think that it's a self-reinforcing cycle. The more lanes gets more people out, the more people out, you know, prompts more lanes, which gets more people out, and we're really seeing a shift in the way people get around this town. Boston is a tiny town. It does have narrow streets, and that means it's perfect for walking and biking. Boston was never designed for cars. We should go back to what Boston was designed for, and that's walking, biking, and public transportation.
Shane Jordan, thank you very much for that. Shane is a blogger at bostonbike.org, and he also used to work for Mass Bike as its director of education, I believe, Shane, right?
That's right.
So thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. Our show is produced by Adam Ragusa, Jessica Alpert, and Dan Mazzi. We also had help this week from Rachel Gottbaum. Our interns are Griff McNerney and Jason Breslow. Tim Skog is our technical director. The senior producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin, and Iris Adler is our executive producer. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again next week for more Radio Boston.